Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you please find in God's Word, Matthew chapter 1. We will start our study in verse 18 in a moment, and I've entitled this message, Heart Decorations, Heart Decorations. Of course, we are now on the pathway to Christmas. So let me be curious. I'll take a quick survey. How many of you have up your Christmas tree? We got up ours. Oh, yeah. Okay, so many people are already in the process of decorating for Christmas. And so let me craft from that decorating a metaphor about decorating your heart. I like the Christmas process of decorating. Maybe you're into it. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're halfway through like Santa and the elves. I just hate it when the elves decorate the tree. That's what Santa said to Miss Claus. They just kind of about halfway do it. That kind of reminds me of me. Mary says, I never put enough lights on the tree. We need more lights. That's another string. And so maybe you're getting into the Christmas decoration. Maybe you're really into it. Like maybe this is a picture of your house. Yes, just a really modestly decorated exterior, getting ready for the season, trying to get into it. Or maybe, I think I took this picture in Otagaville. There it is. That's my favorite. That's Rudolph, of course, leading the way, and that's the sleigh. It's a rather unique VW. Of course, it's crimson, and I like that. Just heading up there, up in the air. That's my kind of redneck Christmas. Well, I don't know about you, but here is the goal of God. The goal of God is not for you to have the most beautifully decorated home, our Christmas tree. But the goal of God is for you not to forget the inside. Here's your reminder, don't forget the inside decoration. Why? Because 1 Samuel 16:7 says it all. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, the goal of God is for you to decorate your heart. And I have three decorating suggestions for you, decorating suggestions that would move you beyond activities and exteriors into the interior attitudes of the Spirit. These are God's instructions. So let's find these decorations as we come to Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. And when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph arose from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, and he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, precious Father, we're entering into a very noisy, busy season, filled with activity and distractions and decorations. Lord, help us not to forget the main decorations, and that's the decorations of the heart. If Father, please get me out of the way, that your Spirit could take your transforming truth and apply it to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's begin with the first decoration. Let's use the example of Joseph having a dream and encountering the Lord right before Christmas to instruct us. The first decoration is the decoration of trusting. That's what we see here, the decoration of trusting. Now, we learn in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without trust or without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that's always our starting point. Will we believe God or not? Will we trust ourselves? Will we trust other people? Will we go the way of the world? Or will we go the Jesus way? That is the fundamental issue. Now let's reset the context of this moment. And it begins with Mary's bombshell. Mary's bombshell. Can you feature what it must have been like? If you inject yourself into this couple's circumstance, then it's a compelling situation. It's like this. Imagine that Mary and Joseph, maybe he's 20, 21, maybe she's 14 or 15, and she says, Joseph, I have to talk with you. God has done something extraordinary in my life, and I am expecting a baby that will not be an ordinary baby, a baby that will be divine, the baby that will be the Savior of mankind. Now, I'm not sure what word she used to frame her circumstance, but it was probably something along those lines. But can you imagine Joseph's response? I mean, what would your response would be if you had just been told by somebody that you treasure and trust that they are expecting a baby, and then they come up with some wild story about it's God's child immaculately conceived? I mean, maybe Joseph kind of pressed back and said, yeah, and I'm Caesar's grandmother too. I mean, it would be pretty easy to go into sarcastic mode. It would be pretty easy to be hurt and angry and frustrated and mad and doubting instead of trusting. And yet the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 19, of course, indicates that he desired to put her away secretly. So the point is, he didn't buy it. The point is, no matter what she said or how she framed it, he rejected it. And he was already planning to put her away secretly. Now, he did have the option, according to Jewish law, to kill her, to have her stoned for her unfaithfulness. It was a very common practice. But to his credit, he decided not to kill her, but instead to put her away secretly. So it was a done deal. He was out of there. He was through with it until God broke through. And you see, friends, that's what we all need. We need a breakthrough, don't we? We need God to break through our stubbornness, our lack of trust, our doubt, our frustration, our anger. We need God to pierce it, to break through. Maybe that's what he's trying to do in your life today. So he did it through a dream. Make a note, Joseph's dream. So God appeared to him in a dream and basically said, trust me. He's saying, trust me, Joe. I'm at work here. As a matter of fact, everything that Mary has said is true and you can trust her. So he affirmed Mary's revelation with the revelation of a dream. Now, friends, let's make this very personal. Sometimes in the middle of difficult circumstances, tragedies, it's hard to trust God, isn't it? If you've gotten that difficult phone call that says, I hate to tell you this, but the test came back and you do have cancer, or you've lost a loved one, or you just got fired. It could be a child that you've dreamed of, but that child just won't come about. Or maybe there's a birth problem. Oh, friends, life is framed with so many unexplainable losses and difficulties. And what God wants us to do in the middle of it is to trust Him. I got an extraordinary letter from a friend who had been diagnosed with cancer. And listen to what this friend wrote. First, God is still in control of everything in this world, including what is happening to me. I see this experience as being one through which I can honor God and be a witness for His Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to ask Him to come into your life and take control of it. He's ready to do that. All you have to do is ask. I pray that whatever the outcome, that Jesus will be glorified through how I deal with this illness and its consequences. That's the right reaction. That's the right way to do it. So let me take you to the cross, and it's your turn. When difficulty descends, will you doubt or trust? When difficulty descends, and it will, what is your response? How will you react? Will you doubt or will you trust? The classic line from C.S. Lewis linked to this topic for me is when C.S. Lewis said, "We tend to trust our doubts and doubt our faith. Instead, we should doubt our doubts and trust our faith." When I read that, I said, "Hallelujah." That is the great truth. What is your propensity? What do you tend to do when hard times hit? Oh, it's so easy to trust our doubts, to doubt our faith. Do the reverse. Do the reverse. Trust your faith and doubt your stinking doubts. That's what God is calling you to do. Oh, my friend, your turn will come. Crisis and tragedy will hit. There will be a problem with your family or your finances or your health. And the issue is, will you trust or doubt? There was another Joseph in the Old Testament, and he went from being a favored son to a prisoner and eventually to the prime minister of a place called Egypt. Because he refused to quit, he kept trusting God. And this is the picture we see in Joseph's life. He changed courses and he decided to trust God. It is so fundamental, but I urge you to decorate your heart with faith and trust. Number two, let's look at the heart decoration of obeying, the heart decoration of obedience. Look at your outline. Note Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. You see, the evidence of trusting is obedience. My favorite hymn is "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." Once you trust, then you translate trusting and faith into obedience. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago. It said, "Honk if you love Jesus." I wanted to rewrite it. "Tithe if you love Jesus." Anybody can honk. I mean, tithing is what God expects. He wants us to be givers. He wants us to be obedient. Talk is cheap. He wants us to walk the talk. That's why it's so important that we learn how to trust Him and obey. Look what Joseph did. He did a very difficult and a dangerous assignment. But this was his new heart setting. His new heart setting was, "Lord, whatever, whenever, however, I will do it. You can count on me." Is that your heart setting? Is that really, truly your heart setting? You see, we're children of the King of Kings, and He's calling us to trust Him and obey Him. Daddy told me a story about a little kid who was really a rebel, and they were always trying to get this kid's attention, and he had spanked him for about the third time that day, and it was over. The little boy was supposed to sit down in his car seat, but he just refused to. He always wanted to stand up. Daddy spanked him again and again and again. Finally, he sat down. The little boy looked at him with tears streaming down his cheeks with defiance, and he said, "Daddy, in my heart, I'm still standing up." That's how a lot of people operate. Oh, maybe God crunches you down and slaps you around, gets your attention, but in your heart, you're still defiant. You're still standing up. You're still doing it your way. Be careful with that. You see, the Word of God says that God will discipline His children. Oh, my friend, please note what Jesus said Look on your worksheet. Jesus said it several times in John 14, 15, and 16. He said it, if you love me, you will obey what I command you. This is a season when we're thinking about football, and I remember this quote from an old hero of the past. Do you remember the name Roger Staubach? Is anybody old enough to remember the glory days of the Cowboys? There was a coach named Coach Landry, Tom Landry, and he had a marvelous man named Roger Staubach, who was his quarterback, and he led the Cowboys to a championship. And listen to this story. Roger Staubach admitted that his position as quarterback, who did not call his own signals, was a source of difficulty for him. Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could Staubach change the play, and he better not be wrong. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry a football genius when it came to strategy, Staubach's pride made him want to run the team. Staubach later confessed, I faced up to the issue of obedience. And once I learned to obey the coach, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Friends, that's how it works. That's the call of God. Learn to obey. When you trust Him, learn to obey Him. This Christmas season, pledge afresh and anew that you want to know and do the will of God. That's the right attitude. If you hear God say, jump, don't say why, just say, Lord, how high? I am ready to obey you. Here's the bottom line. It's your turn. Write God a blank check. This is something I did a long time ago. Write God a blank check. You know what a blank check is? A blank check with no strings attached. It means that you trust somebody so deeply that you write your name on the check and you let them fill in the amount. Now, I've not done that with a lot of people. I'll do it with a few people. But generally, when you write a check, you fill in the amount that you will enable them to cash. But that's not what God expects of you. He wants you to write Him a blank check that says, whatever, whenever, however, no strings attached. You owe me your everything. And my expectation of you is this simple, that you are completely committed to my cause and my calling. Well, let's go to the third heart decoration. The heart decoration of caring. That's what I also see here. Joseph embraced the task of taking care of Mary and Jesus. Look again to your worksheet in Matthew 1:25. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In other words, Joseph assumed the role of caregiver. Now, what did he do as caregiver? No doubt he shielded Mary from the ridicule of that pregnancy. He took care of her needs. Who delivered that baby? Oh, maybe it was the innkeeper's wife. I don't know if they were very helpful. I got an idea. Joseph was right in there doing his part. He served as the midwife when hostile, hateful Herod arose as the Grinch of Christmas. Who risked everything and took Jesus and Mary down to Egypt? It was Joseph. You see, Joseph was the caregiver. You see, that's the call of God. He wants you to decorate your heart this Christmas, not only with trusting, but He wants you to decorate with obedience and then caring. Here's what it looks like. Look at Matthew 25, verse 40. Here's the call of God. Whatever, Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. God wants us to assume that same attitude of caring. And oh, there is ample opportunity. I heard the story about a man who was walking through a hopeless city and he saw a hungry child who looked destitute and beat up. And he just cried out in his heart. He said, oh God, won't you do something for that child? And God whispered back, He said, I did. I made you. Oh, my friend, you are the answer to so many people's prayers. You ought to be the person who saddles up and makes the difference in other people's lives. Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me. You see, it's now your turn. Let me ask that you fill in this blank, fill it in carefully, fill it in prayerfully. Your turn. Do something for someone who can do nothing for you. That is God's assignment. Do something for someone who can do nothing for you. Friend, we are surrounded by selfishness. And the antidote, the antibiotic that we can take against selfishness is when we get ourselves off our hands and we do something for others, and especially if they can do nothing in return. The least of these, the lost, the last. That's the call of God. We are surrounded by people who have physical needs. So find somebody who has a physical need and in the name of Jesus, meet that need. Did you know we had our angel tree out here last week? These represent the children of prisoners. These are people who are incarcerated and they can't go buy Christmas gifts for their kids. So we're filling that gap. And I was so proud of us. We had over 100 little angels that flew off those trees last Sunday. And people in this congregation will embrace that physical need of providing Christmas for a child of a prisoner. Find somebody who has a need and meet that need. We have a lot of emotional needs at this time of year. People are hurting. They are lonely. They are dealing with adversity. We learn in Galatians 6:2 that we can bear one another's burdens if we so choose to do that. So I would find somebody who has an emotional burden right now and get underneath it with them. There are people who have spiritual needs. There is no greater time to share a witness for Christ than right now. Oh, in your Christmas card, you should include little gospel messages, maybe a gospel booklet that tells people in this time where Christ is highlighted how they can connect their life to Jesus Christ. Don't miss this opportunity, and it happens when you decorate your heart with caring. Well, friends, here's the bottom line, the take-home point. Joseph shaped his life around Jesus. Joseph shaped his life around Jesus. You see, Joseph was a carpenter. He spent his life building things. And at the end, he chose to build his life around Jesus. And the same should be true for me and for you. Well, let's pray about it. Father, oh, help us. Help us to hear your voice. That same voice that told Joseph to trust and obey and care. That same voice right now, the voice of your Spirit, is speaking to us, calling us to turn down the noisy distractions of this world and turn up your voice so that we can hear you and choose to go your way and do your will. Choose to build our life around you, Lord Jesus. Give us the sanctified common sense to do so and to even start now. It's in Jesus' name we pray for it. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.